Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
And so, Father, I trust you to elevate us like you said you would do. I trust you to empower us just like you said you would do because of this revelation that you have me sharing. Father, I trust you to equip us, not just for the sake of equipping, but equipping us to cause us to boldly go to territories and areas that we have never accessed or tapped into before in life. Give us the courage, the confidence, and the assurance to know that we're in your will, that you're covering us, that you got us, that we're pleasing you, and that you're making it happen. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen. Excuse me. Come on, open your Bibles with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. As I have mentioned to you before, that on Thursday nights, I'm still into my teaching that I did in a three-night meeting entitled, Be Firm in Faith. Be firm in faith. Now, I'm hoping real soon that we'll be able to get those videos of the three-night meeting on the YouTube channel so that you'll be able to view them again and, man, allow it to jumpstart you in this first month of the year. I believe that we do have them. I haven't checked, but I believe we have them on in audio form on the website, on the sermons page. But then I also want you to have the next part. I've already did a part four. This right here, I believe, is part five that we're going to do tonight. Why is it so important? It's so important for you to hear it, and hear it until you catch it. What happens a lot of times with us as Christians, we do this. We start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Anybody ever made New Year's resolutions? You started out good, but then you stopped. Anybody ever said that they was going to go on a diet? That's a curse word in some people's families. And then you start, stop. Anybody ever said they were going on a exercise program? Yeah, start, stop. And see, what you don't understand is that start, stop pattern follows you. And it becomes a stronghold in your life that the adversary uses against you. And so that's why I make these messages available to you. And I'm always pushing Chris because I know how important it is. It's important to your spiritual well-being. Now, if you don't take advantage of it, that ain't my fault. Before God, I've done my part. And he'll see that because you have to hear it. Remember, you hear me say this constantly. Within consistency lies the power. Within consistency lies the power. So you have to be consistent in hearing so that you can be developed in receiving more consistently than you've ever done before. It's not just going to happen. You can get a year older, won't make a difference. It doesn't mean just because you're a year older naturally, does not mean that you're a year older spiritually. And some people think, I've been saved for X amount of years. Well, did you know that you can be saved for 25 years and still be a baby in Christ? Because you're not spiritually developed. You're not spiritually mature. You can be saved a long time, but not developed. You haven't allowed God to take you to new levels of discipline. And so your determination level is weak. You heard Mother Carmen mention this. Your spiritual discernment is not where it's supposed to be. But it's okay for you because you feel comfortable where you are. And so, you know, I used to pray this in the early years. I used to pray, God, don't let me die early. Lord, don't let me die early because of my foolishness. Lord, please don't let me die early because of my stubbornness. Lord, don't let me die early because of my foolish pride. Lord, Lord, I'm going to yield to you. Man, I would pray that, Lord, I'm yielding to you. And it's some people's pride, their stubbornness to do things their way, their rebellion, and it builds a stronghold in them. And you know that I mentioned that start-stop pattern? That's a form of stubbornness. And you don't want nobody to tell you any different. Well, we have to be different, dear hearts. We got to reach for something. It's one thing to sense God wants to do something unusual this year. It's a whole different ball game to be in position for it. It's one thing to say, I want God to bless my family. It's a whole different ball game to pay the price for your family to be blessed. You follow me? It's one thing to say, I want to flow with God. Well, you never can flow with God on your terms. It's always on His. He's never going to respect your comfort zone. And that's what this message about be firm in faith is all about. Because you have to understand that faith is a spiritual force. Faith is a spiritual force. It's not a mental one. So this has nothing to do with your head, but the force of faith will affect your thinking. Faith is not a physical force. It has nothing to do with how you feel, but the force of faith will affect your feelings. And that you heard me share earlier of how the things God delivered me from. And so he caused me to become firmer spiritually. So I became firmer in my discipline. I became firmer in my determination. I became firmer in my discernment. I became firmer in my devotion to him. I became firmer in dominating those things that used to hinder me. Instead of me going back to excuse living, you know, living by the excuses you make. Because don't nobody believe your excuse but you. Listen, don't nobody believe your excuse but you. All that stuff we justify why we didn't do this and why we didn't do that. It makes sense to us. Listen, we're the only people it makes sense to. Nothing in the spirit realm gives you a check mark because of your excuse or your justification. Did you know that? The only one who's happy that you used an excuse and you justified not moving, and like I mentioned about God, how God delivered me from procrastination, the only one who was happy about me procrastinating was the devil. Because he wanted to keep me out of position. He wanted to knock me out of the place where God wanted me to go. Because he didn't want me to see what God had designated for my life. Jesus, I give you praise. And so I had to learn. So being firm in faith is not just about getting a bunch of things. Being firm in faith also involves identity. It involves, glory to God, alignment. It involves agreement, where you go to a whole nother level of agreement and you'll stop agreeing. See, I got to the place where I stopped agreeing with excuses. So, and many of you in the ministry know I've always said this. So to me, no excuses will do. No excuses will do. I'm no longer in an agreement. I am no longer in agreement with an excuse. So since I'm not in agreement with it, I don't walk with it. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? So, man, excuses are not part of my consciousness. I got to do what I got to do. I got to let my yea be yea, my nay, nay, and I know what I got to do. That's the bottom line. And one of the things that oftentimes I tell, for example, I tell my kids, I say, now y'all got to understand. I know I can be a good dad, and I am a good dad, but I tell them, when it comes to ministry and when it comes to the things of God, I don't come down to your level. You got to come up to mine. I don't do ministry like you when you want to do things when you feel like it. I understand I'm on assignment and I got to do it whether I feel like it or not. See, like, I don't have to do those emails each day. I don't have, man. And somebody, God was showing me today. He said, somebody was saying, oh, now I said, God was showing me this. Now I haven't heard anybody say this. I said, God was showing me this. He was showing me this, that somebody was saying, man, Pastor Marcus sending out some long emails. Anybody got time to read all of this? Look at all of this. I said, God showed me that today in my spirit. And I said, well, Lord, you know what we got to tell them? They got to understand. If they can get the devil to only talk to them for 10 minutes, then they'll win. But it's amazing that the devil never stops talking to them after a short time. The devil, he doesn't stop working against them after a day. He's coming against them at all times. And now they are bothered because their flesh don't want them to read an email that'll transform their lives. I said, Lord, they have to be delivered. But you see, I do that because I'm on assignment. I'm on assignment. So you have to understand when God gives you an assignment, you can't look for people's approval because, listen, people will not approve. Because they don't understand. It was not their assignment. It wasn't given to them. They won't understand it. And starting out, they may approve of it until it makes their flesh uncomfortable. And then you'll see how strong their commitment is. So that's why when God gives you an entrust, an assignment to you, he calls you alone so that he can take you to a place that you couldn't get to on your own, and nobody else knew how to get you there because they don't know you like God knows you. Am I making sense? Okay, let's read the scripture. John chapter 14. We're talking about be firm in faith. John chapter 14 is our scripture text. Glory to God. I got all kind of notes here for you. Oh, we're going to have a good time tonight. Now, I need y'all to pull tonight. I want you to pull tonight. I can release it, but if you pull, it'll flow out, all right? John chapter 14, verse 21 from the King James says this. This is Jesus talking, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Powerful few verses. Powerful few verses. So let's go back over these verses and see what the Spirit of God wants us to pull out of them tonight. Now, I want you to see something. Look at verse 23 again. It said, Jesus answered and said unto him, he was responding to Judas's question, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, wait a minute. If a man keep my words, if a man love me, he will keep my word. Condition. But wait a minute. We already know that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world and gave the world Jesus. But now here he's talking about, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Well, so that lets me know he's talking about a different depth of love. It's not, now don't confuse this, God does not show partiality. Okay? He's not a respecter of persons, but God does respect faith. That's what Christians got to understand. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't treat some over here better than he treats the other one. But when he has someone who is firmer in faith, God will pass over 1,000 people to get to that one person. Because that person now has made a demand on the presence of God, the power of God, and the performance of God. Are you listening to me? Look, it says, if a man love me. Well, what determines if we love him? He already told us. Look at verse 21 again. He that hath my commandments. Now, even though the King James Bible says, he that hath my commandments or have my word and keepeth them, it's not that this person who has his commandments or has his word is in control of the word. Actually, it's the one who has allowed the word to have control over them. You got to see this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Why are they keeping them? Because they've now prioritized the word above anything else in their lives. I remember one of my preacher friends said this to me. He says, Mark, there's something I have learned about you. If God tells you to do something, I don't care what happens, Mark, I know you're going to do it. I said, well, yeah. I said, you're right. And even Cheryl knows that. Been married to her over 41 years, but she knows if God tells Mark to do something, he's going to do it. I remember when God had me to write my first mini book. It was a small book. It was back in Fort Worth, Texas. And we had to pay rent. Now, I am not saying for anybody else to do this. Please. I'm not telling you to do this. My wife had to learn how to follow her husband as he followed God because I put us out there. I had to pay for this book on my own, and I took our rent money to pay for it because God said it. Now, he didn't tell me to take the rent money, but see, that was my way of obeying him and putting myself out there for him. Now, no, we didn't lose the apartment or anything like that, but it did cause us a little struggle, a little stress and some strain, and Pastor Cheryl had to forgive me. But man, I put myself out there. I got to do this. See, what was being developed in me was God was making me firmer in faith that it was him or nothing. Now you can argue with me and say, well, Pastor Mark, that wasn't wise. No, I would agree with you. In the natural, it wasn't wise. But for the spiritual, I had to jump out there. I had to get out the boat. Was it wise for Peter to get out the boat? All because Jesus said, come? Nobody got healed. Nobody even got saved. Nobody came into the family of God because Peter got out of the boat. Why, Peter? And then you got to ask Jesus, why did you tell Peter to come, to get out the boat? There was no righteous reason for him getting out of that boat. But he took the leap. And it did something for him. There, see, that's what I'm trying to show you. This firmness. Sometime or another, you're going to see that God is going to call for you to take a risk for him. And see, many of us, we'll take a risk for our personal lives, for ourselves. We'll take a risk and we'll do something because it's for our glory, for our benefit, for our career, for our prestige, for our business, for us to be promoted. But God says, well, what about me? Can you do it for me? And seeing at this particular time, you know, first when I was coming into the things of God, it was basketball used to be my God. I was played in three different leagues, and I considered playing ball more than going to church. I didn't read my Bible. I played ball. See, it was my God. So now here I am in the things of God, and even though that might have not been a natural, wise thing to do, man, it jump-started me in my firmness with God, to believe God. Okay, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. Here's what I want you to understand. God is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere at the same time, all the time. God is omnipresent, but God is not manifested everywhere. Not all of God's children get his manifested presence. They don't know how to manifest the presence of God. They don't know how to manifest the power of God. They don't know how to manifest the performance of God. And they want to know it, but they want to do it with them still being in control of everything. And that won't happen. That won't happen. And so in all of these sessions, I was teaching you about the definition of firmness, but let me remind you of something. Because it's going to require for you to be firm if you're going to manifest his presence. I share with you that being firm in faith is being strong and unwavering about the word of God that you're believing. Being strong and unwavering, say unwavering, unwavering about the word of God that you're believing. Now, right now, in this season of your life, God is wanting to deal with the area in your life where you have a tendency to waver when it comes to his word. Oh, you're doing your best to believe the best way you know how. But the same thing that tripped you up last year, that tripped you up the year before, is still lingering and is tripping you up right now. He wants you to get to this place where you are firmer in faith, so you become stronger, and now your level of unwavering has increased. Two, being firm in faith is not having weak faith. And in one of these sessions, we looked at the different measures of faith. There is the measure of no faith. There is the measure of weak faith. There is the measure of little faith. There is the measure of strong faith, and then there is the measure of great faith. Well, God has given to all men, according to Romans 12 and 3, the measure of faith. Now, what we do with it determines where we're going to be in one of those measurable categories. We determine that, not God. And so he doesn't want you to be in weak faith. And how do I know, Pastor Mark, if I'm in weak faith? When you consider everything else against the word of God, instead of just considering the word only, you take in consideration your calculations. You take in consideration your reasoning. You take into consideration what you think you know and what you think you understand. You take into consideration what's happening around you. And so all of these different things that you take into consideration is, it reveals that you're operating with weak faith. You got to be like Abraham, where he considered not Sarah's dead body, dead womb, and he didn't consider his dead body. He didn't take that into consideration when he got God's word that you're going to have a son. So the question today is, what's been opposing your faith that you haven't overcome? What's been opposing your faith? Then number three, being firm in faith is not being easily moved by people, not being easily moved by places. Now, what do I mean by places? When you're in the place of, I don't see nothing happening. Or you're in the place of, what's this? Now what's going on? When you find yourself in these different places, do you allow them to move you away from what God said to you? Or do you hold on to the reality of the word of God? So you ask yourself, really, what are you making your reality? So being firm in faith is not being easily moved by people. So who cares what other people say? Who cares when other people say you can't do it? Who cares when other people say you shouldn't do it, but you know in your heart God wants you to do it? And then being firm in faith is not being uncertain about your faith. And that's a lot of times where this firmness come in at. God makes you more firmer than the uncertainties that used to control you. Feeling uncertain. You're uncertain about it working out. You're uncertain about it happening for you. You're uncertain about this, uncertain about that. So being firm in faith is where God causes you to become more firmer than any uncertainty that's coming against you. So that now you're not living in fear of what you're uncertain about. You conquer those uncertainties. They no longer stop you. You have so much confidence and assurance, and watch this, and peace of heart and mind that God's coming through. And that uncertainty is still staring you in the face, and you're not backing down. So being firm in faith also is not being easily moved by those things that are opposing your faith. You know, when you're believing for your healing, but the pain's still talking to you. Or when you're believing for your marriage to become stronger and y'all still get into argument. It's like y'all can't get this thing together. And you're trying to come into agreement and he don't see it the wife's way and the wife don't see it the husband way. And so instead of a unity and a togetherness and a harmony and a flow, there's always this void in the atmosphere. And that void is called lack of agreement. But what do you do when something like that is opposing your faith? You got to know how to believe God instead of trying to make you be right. You got to believe God. What's the purpose of you and your spouse being in agreement? Is it because so that you can be right? No. God has a design for why he had you two get married. Glory to God. And if you're not careful, you'll miss his purpose, all because of your selfish desires. Is what I want. Well, let me tell you this right quick. What you want is far beneath than what God wants for you both. You listening to me? All right. And then being firm in faith is not being disturbed about what you don't see. Because now you know that the firmness of your faith is causing divine alignment to take place. Glory to God. It's not being disturbed about what you don't see. And some of us, yes, I'm talking to you on this faith call tonight. Some of us still get bothered about what we don't see. And so we start wondering, why isn't it happening yet? After all I've done, after all I've prayed, after all I've given, I've sown seed, I believe God, I've quoted scripture, why hasn't it happened yet? And if you've been reading the Proverbs Wisdom Saturation emails, there was one day we talked about the spiritual principle of gradual increase. Something is always happening. And when you don't respect that principle, you avoid it out because of your frustration. See, there's a big difference in seeing a 2% increase in an apple and a 2% increase in an elephant. The 2% increase in the elephant is more visible than the 2% increase in the apple. But both of them got 2% increase. Are you listening to me? You have to understand that being firm in faith is not being disturbed about what you don't see, because now, because of the firmness of my faith, I know that I am in divine alignment with Almighty God and His Word, and therefore some things are taking place. Glory to God. Now, watch this. There are some things you can see with your natural eyes, but then there's a whole nother world. It's called the micro world, where you need a magnifying glass what you call those things? Help me, Cheryl. What you call them things doctors look in when they looking at cells and stuff? Huh? Oh, Lord. Come on, Cheryl. Somebody got it. Oh, my goodness.
Microscope.
A microscope. I know, dear, you love me, and she supports me to the nth degree. A microscope. You need to see all of these things. Don't be laughing, Takesha. You need to see all these things through a microscope. But with your natural eyes, you don't even know they exist, but they do. And they are around you all the time. So when you're being firm in faith, you get to the place where I am no longer disturbed by what I don't see. Because I understand that even though I don't see it with my natural eyes, something is still happening. Amen. And then being firm in faith is learning to be steadfast. Come on, somebody say steadfast. 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 Now, watch this. Watch this. I read this to you. Why is this so important? Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 real quick. You got to be steadfast. Now, I sense this by the Spirit of God, that He's saying God wants to graduate you. Yeah, I'm talking to you now. God wants to graduate you to a new level of steadfastness. Glory to God. Come on, you need to write that down. God wants to graduate you to a new level of steadfastness. because you're not there yet. Oh, I know you think you all that in a bag of chips. You think that you can really believe God. You think your faith is there, but you're not at the level of steadfastness that he wants you to be so that you can handle what he's sending into your life this year. Jesus, I give you praise. Because, now look at this verse. Why we got to be steadfast? Look at this verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 from the King James. It says, be sober. Now that has a sense of get yourself together. You know what I mean? That's what it's saying. That you are in a ready position. You're not weak. I remember the years, this was years ago, when God used to deal with me about my weak disposition. And he said, Mark, you got a weak conviction, weak disposition. I had a weak stance, meaning instead of standing for something, I always caved in because of the pressure. And he dealt with me about that. And I didn't want to be like that, but I didn't know how to grow out of it. And God taught me. Glory to God. Be sober. Look what it says. Be vigilant. Now that word vigilant, man, that has some violence behind it. Be vigilant. You're on alert. Man, you're at this place of attention. You're ready. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He can't do it. He needs you to position yourself for him to devour you. He needs you to not be able to cover your family so that now he can cause something bad to happen to your family because there is no spiritual covering. He needs you to not know how to discern spiritual attacks so that now he can freely attack you and yours. He needs you to be weak so that he can conquer. See, he's seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't know yet. So watch this. He comes and he has this script. He said, now last time, this is what caused her to become frustrated. Let's do that again in her life. Last time, this is what caused him to second guess himself and caused him not to have confidence. And so when he didn't have confidence, he took it out on everybody in the house like it was their fault, but he knew it was his fault because he couldn't really believe. So let's cause this again. He keeps this script. And so he comes at you and he attacks your carnal predictability. Oh, Jesus. He predicts how you're going to respond carnally. He predicts how you're going to act carnally. You know what I mean? Carnally in your flesh. You're not yielding to God. See, he wants to cause you to cuss again. Come on, somebody. He wants to cause you to drink again. He wants to cause you to give up again. He wants to cause you to back off again. Carnal predictability. He knows the very thing to send your way to cause you to start thinking against your family, thinking against your spouse, thinking against yourself, thinking against your church, thinking against your preacher. You following me? Carnal predictability. See, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, watch this. Now, I mentioned God is omnipresent, but the devil isn't. God is everywhere at the same time. The devil isn't. If he's at Kathleen's house, then he can't be at my house. Did you know that? If he's causing trouble in Herb's life, he can't be causing trouble in my life. So what he does is he sends out seducing spirits to see if you or I will fall for bait. And then the seducing spirit will then turn you over to a spiritual stronghold. Mm-hmm. So see, like a seducing spirit will come and then try to talk you into or influence you into becoming discouraged. And then when you take the bait, then it leaves you and turns you over to the spiritual stronghold of depression. And now you'll go through a depressed state. And then if you stay in that depressed state long enough, then the spiritual stronghold of depression then will turn you over to the spirit of death, to where now he'll convince you to commit suicide. But see, the devil was still at one person's house. He just sent other imps, other demonic emissaries against you at your house. So what you have to understand is, look what the Bible says, look at verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So you're going to have to resist him when he's come to talk you out of becoming more disciplined. You're going to have to resist him when he's coming to you to talk you out of becoming more steadfast. You're going to have to resist him when he's coming to talk you out of your consistency. Why is he doing that? Because he knows within consistency lies the power. If I get him to break his consistency, then I break the power flow in his life. If I get her to break her consistency, then I break the flow of power in her life. All I got to do is get him to accept in his mind and in his mouth an excuse. All I got to do is get her to accept in her mind and in her mouth an excuse. And then I can disconnect them from the reality of the truth of the word of God. And now I got them. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Glory to God. Are y'all getting this? Well, watch this. Come on, go with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. All right, I got a few more minutes. Just 10 minutes. Luke chapter 8. Watch this. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Luke chapter 8, look at verse 22. From the King James, it says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Excuse me. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. I said this was King James. This is a new King James. I'm sorry. Verse 24. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? They came to him because of the storm that they were in. And Jesus rebuked them because they didn't have any faith themselves. He said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. Now, remember what our subject is. Be firm in faith. So he asked them, where is your faith? Many times, my brothers and sisters, when we find ourselves in our storms of life, that question is being asked in the midst of the storm you're facing. Where is your faith? When you're dealing with stuff in your body, the question comes up from the realm of the spirit. Where is your faith? When you're dealing with stuff in the family, the drama that can be in a family, and you're bothered by all the personality conflicts, you're bothered by everything that's said and done, but the question from the spirit realm is, where is your faith. Sometimes, because of weariness, some Christians give in to discouragement because they unintentionally void their hope out regarding God's word, and they become complacent with their faith. I believe this message on be firm in faith is also part of God's deliberate effort to come after the complacency in our faith. See, being firm in faith is what transforms life in difficult situations and gives us the ability to lay hold on the promises of God. So watch this now. When you're facing drama, when you're facing challenges, when you're facing distasteful life situations, when you're facing contradictory circumstances, always remember this. You have a choice to make. You get to choose how you will deal with the storms of life when they rise up in your life. Storms of life can manifest, can come and manifest in your health. Cheryl went through a storm in her life all of last year as she went through those surgical procedures and the major surgery and then recovery from all of that. And then taking all that medication, her immune system gets real weak and she contracts shingles. Nobody asks for that. She didn't do anything wrong to cause that. She's trying to recover. See, that's a storm of life that came upon her suddenly, just like we read in the passage. This storm came upon them as they were sailing. Storms of life can come and manifest in your family. And in your family, you have a disagreement after disagreement. And you're trying to get things, and you think you're at one place, and then something happens, or somebody doesn't do what they're supposed to do, and it causes the family to be affected. Or somebody makes a purchase that nobody in the family knew about, but now it costs the family. Or a storm of life can come and manifest in your personal finances. Or my business owners, it can happen in your business finances, or even like in my case, in ministry finances. Or a storm of life can happen, can manifest and come, and now this storm has brewed and you see it manifest in your business. It can happen among the workers. It can happen among the flow of the business, and now the business is affected. So we have to cultivate a deliberate, disciplined attitude. Come on, write it down. Come on, write it down. Make it personal. I must cultivate a deliberate, disciplined attitude of faith within me. I must cultivate. Come on, I need my scribe to put this in the chat. I must cultivate a deliberate, disciplined attitude of faith within me. This is how you become firmer in faith. And once we develop this attitude, with this attitude now, we can operate with the spirit of faith and operate with the spirit of dominion, and we won't fall victim. Did you see how Jesus operated? Look at the verse again. Look at the verse again. In verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Not one time did Jesus think about perishing. Not one time did Jesus give in to the emotion of perishing. Notice, he didn't ask them a question. Well, what happened? He never responded to the words of "we perish." Soon as somebody come and tell you something, you want all the details as to what went wrong. And you need everything told to you as if what they described to you is going to give you faith. No, you got to know how to respond with the word of God. You have to develop and cultivate this deliberate, disciplined attitude of faith. All of them came yelling, crying, "Master, Master, we perish." So the atmosphere that they generated was one of terror. They were terrified. They were fearful for their lives. But Jesus didn't respond to that atmosphere. And you have to learn how not to respond to the atmosphere that the storms of life come and bring you. Now, go with me. Go look at this. Keep a marker at Luke 8 and go to Isaiah 55. Quickly, Isaiah 55. We're almost coming down. See, you must never forget that God is faithful. Come on, somebody say that. God is faithful. You must never forget that God is faithful, and he is faithful to accomplish that which he has spoken. So you have to be determined today by shaking off the dust of your circumstances and your situations and rise up again in faith and say, "I believe God that it shall be just like he told me in his word." Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Hurry, Mark. Hurry, hurry. Look at verses 10 and 11. Watch this now. Glory to God. Verse 10 and 11 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Glory to God. Now, I'm hearing something while I was reading that last verse, and what I was hearing is, you have to get to the place to where you stop thinking that what you're saying is being voided out by what's coming against you. Did you see what it said in verse 10? Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You and I were made in the image of God. You have to start believing. See, this is when you're being firm in faith, that when I speak to something, things are happening. My words are not being voided out. My words are not weak. My words are not empty. I remember when God changed how I talk to things and how I talk to myself and how I talk to situations. And he said, "Mark, put some fire in your voice and stop talking mealy-mouthed." Because that's how I used to talk. He said, "Put some fire in your voice, son." And what he was telling me was my conviction of faith behind my words was weak. And then, see, there's some people that think that I got to shout. No, when you have a conviction of faith, you can whisper. And devils respond. Situations line up. That's called divine alignment. But I want you to see something real quick. I see four words, or in essence, four demonstrations in verses 10 and 11. I see the word effect, effect. He says that the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth. It causes an effect. It affects the earth. Two, the second word I see is effect. It causes effects. Maketh it bring forth in bud. That's the effect of the word. I hear you. I hear you. See, my time ran out, but I got to get this to you. That's the effect of the word. And then the third word that I see. So number one is effect. Number two is effect. And number three is impact. Impact. Watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower. Now it's not only impacting the earth, it impacts a sower's life. And then the fourth word I see from this is the word activate. Activate. So what you have to understand, glory to God, this is good, is that you have to expect God to restore your hope at all times. Expect God to restore your strength at all times. Expect God, are you listening to me? To restore the joy of believing him again at all times. Expect God to restore your passion for life. I used to think that my passion for life was lost because I didn't have enough money. I didn't have enough opportunity. I didn't have enough better things happening for me. And so because these things wasn't happening for me, but they were happening for somebody else, then my life must be worthless. God said, who said that, Mark? See, I brought my life down to a natural thing. And God says, son, bring your life up to the eternal things. I said, glory to God. Yeah, so I started expecting God to restore my hope. I started expecting God to restore my strength. I started expecting God to restore the joy of my believing him again. That's why here I am, over 38 years in ministry, so you know I've been saved longer than that, and I'm still excited about the things of God. Why? He has restored the joy of my believing him. That's not based on a thing. It's not based on a circumstance or a situation. It's totally based on him. That's why God, Jesus said in that, what the scripture we started, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, that's the one who loves me. So expect God to restore the passion for your life. And as he gives you a fresh wave of resilience tonight, in the name of Jesus, I release upon you a fresh wave of resilience, a fresh wave of new strength. And I say in Jesus' name, if you've been going through lately, I say in the name of Jesus that God is giving you bounce back in your spirit. Come on, receive that in the name of Jesus. Already this year, the adversary has been working hard against many to cause them to fall into the place of discouragement and despair. And he wants to steal their focus by the distractions that he's causing in their lives. But this is not only a time where the Lord is bringing forth very significant manifestations of his promises, but he's also positioning his people in the awakening so that they can move into their destiny like never before. He's positioning us so that you can have a performance from him that you didn't even know how to get on your own. Glory to God. So I'm going to end with this verse. Look at this verse, Psalms 42. We'll end right here. I'm done. Psalms 42. You have to capture that God wants you to become firmer in your faith. Psalms 42, verse 11. Now, I'm going to read it from the King James, but I'm going to read it from this translation that I always love to read it from. God gave me this verse way before we even moved to Buffalo, and we've been in Buffalo over 31 years. And this is how long he has used this verse to minister to me, to encourage me, to give me resilience when I needed it, to give me strength when I needed it, to give me hope when I needed it. And tonight, he's doing something in you. Watch this. The King James Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Oh, I love it. I love it. But now listen to it from the translation that God has used to mark my life for over 35 years. From the Living Bible translation, Psalms 42 and 11. But, oh my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be upset. Expect God to act. For I know that I shall again have plenty of reason to praise him for all that he will do. He is my help. He is my God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you tonight. Put your hope in God. Hope in God does not disappoint. Now, one more translation. And this is one probably you can pull up. The Passion's translation of Psalms 42 and 11. This is for somebody specific tonight. Listen to me. From the Passion's translation, Psalms 42 and 11. So I say to my soul, notice the psalmist is speaking to himself. And he's speaking words to encourage himself, to strengthen himself, to awaken himself, to jumpstart himself so he can get back to a believing position that he will not back away from. He says, this is the Passion's translation. So I say to my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be disturbed. I speak to somebody tonight that the Spirit of God has marked you tonight, and he says, stop being disturbed. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what that's about. But God is, your word tonight is, stop being disturbed. He says, don't be discouraged. Don't be disturbed. For I know my God will break through to me. Jesus, didn't we pray that earlier tonight? Then I'll have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again. Yes, living before his face is my saving grace. Come on, put your hands up right now. Come on, receive. Say, Father, I receive a fresh wave of resilience tonight in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift those hands and say, Father, I receive fresh strength tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, tell them, say, Father, I receive fresh encouragement tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, tell them, say, Father, I receive fresh hope tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me hope again in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that by your Spirit, you're lifting up every hung down head in the name of Jesus. And those who have started this year off in the midst of a challenge, those who have started this year off in the midst of a storm, those who have started this year off in the midst of pressure, those who have started this year off in the midst of a perplexity, that Father, tonight you are moving on their hearts, you are ministering to them, and you are causing them to receive solutions in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for strategies. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom. Wisdom to navigate victoriously through what we've been facing this year already. We give you praise. Somebody needs wisdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. On how to move and on what to do. Wisdom on how to make choices. Glory to God. That is pertaining to what they're involved in. And I say wisdom comes tonight. Receive it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Lift those hands and say, I receive, I receive, I receive. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.